This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 2nd, episode 1310. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
That's right. It's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
Oh, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I mean,
you got to be so sick of staring at that microphone in front of your face.
I'm sick of staring at the microphone and the computers. I'm going to get an afternoon off today, and I'm looking forward to it.
Are you sick of your wife, or are you guys okay?
I think we're just both tired. You know, I actually woke up more tired this morning than yesterday morning. I worked all day yesterday trying to get the recorded hours out. And that was a lot more. Everything was more work than I thought for this whole thing. You know how that always is the case?
Well, you know what? Like, I would feel bad for you, but like, you did it to yourself.
You're
like, hey, let's do 12 straight hours on the radio.
I couldn't say six. I had to say 12. You know, when I thought of this, six didn't seem like enough for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for those of us that listened to almost all of it, we thought six was enough. Just kidding. It was really, really good.
What was funny was we had 12 hours and every hour was packed. We had like no time for golf. It was just packed. It was weird.
It's really, really amazing how that worked out like that. And you did a great job. 12 hours on the radio. That has never happened.
I got to give credit to Jennifer who took all those calls. Jennifer, what did you say? Almost 200 calls? Now, not everybody got on the air. You know, there were a lot that we never got to. We'll have to fix that for next year. But yeah, there were. I think between the outgoing and incoming calls, it was 200 or 250 calls.
Yeah, so, closer to 250.
Yeah, so that she did all day long, and thanks to the help of Haley too when she filled in. But oof, she had a job, and then Wendy. You know, I think Wendy could not read another prize ad when we were done.
My suggestion is have those recorded next year.
For about the first 8 hours, and then when we were in that final hour, I got to say that final hour was a hoot.
It was very fun.
I'll tell everybody how they can find the hours and everything, but let's go to Jennifer first.
On today's Wednesday after the Radiothon edition, following our nostalgic look back at Monday's show of shows, we're going to be joined by Chris, who is with the Tampa Bay Business Owners Association with some blatant ego stroking on Glenn's part.
That's correct.
Yeah. And then in the middle of the show, we're going to get a chance to hear the Bob Baffert interview that was so rudely interrupted during the horsemanship hour on Monday's show. And hopefully Debbie Laux will be here to join us for that. And then Riding Drag, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer has the European Report. So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie, as you would expect, the day after the first time in the horse world everybody's done 12 hours straight like that, is thanks to everyone involved in the Radiothon, the sponsors, some tremendous sponsors that we had all day long, prize providers, hosts, guests, and let's give a big round of applause to our talented listeners. We have some really talented listeners.
It would have been about 6 hours long if we didn't have the listeners write in all that, perform all that stuff.
I know.
Because that gave us a whole 6 hours of radio.
I did. And it gave us a break to go to the bathroom during those, too. But putting them together was a feat. We had over 100 voicemails. And, you know, we're going to replay some of them here before Christmas. You guys put a lot of work into those. And there were some of the lot of work into those. And we're going to replay some of the musical ones and things as our songs songs as we go along. So we're going to give you a little bit of extra love. And we're going to meet later on. I'm so excited to meet one of our listeners, Elizabeth from Oregon, who did that amazing song that we opened this Radiothon with. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about her musical career. If she has one, she should. So that's good. I just wanted to thank everybody involved. Y'all put
and
in
the auditors. My God, they had a chat on their auditor listener page. Remember, if you want to join that group, you can. But auditors, there must have been. I mean, the thread was like 600 comments long. It was crazy.
They were chatting all day long. It was the chat room. And if you're not an auditor now, the auditor links, I noticed, came down when the Radiothon went up. That'll be fixed. We'll fix that here in the next couple of days. But if you are not an auditor, you need to do it. And because that group, I mean, they've really become friends. There's 80 people in there that are just friends.
Really neat.
I wanted to read. We'll get you. Well, let me read this to you before you get to your daily Winnie because it involves mine. We had a comment from Dawn Deems that said, "I just had to listen to Charles from Lane's End again, Jamie. You better take me to Kentucky with you and put that blanket on his zenyatta. My heart just melted when he said that."
I'm going to tell you something. I am glad that I am married to the man I am. But let me tell you, if there was another one out there, that would be him. Oh my God.
Chad doesn't have that accent.
He's so good looking and he's got that accent and he handles Zenyatta on a daily basis. Is that the perfect man or what? I mean, come on. Oh, my heart melted when he said that too. 12 hours of radio, and that's what she remembers. Me too, girlfriend. Me too.
You know, I think one of my most memorable things was potted meat. That stuck with me the whole entire day.
God.
And then the other thing
Thanks.
I don't know if you heard the last hour with everybody's favorite, but the whole rooster story got me in the last hour too. The rooster shirt.
I was actually ordering my dinner at the taco truck when that happened, and I came back on and everybody was laughing about it. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to Boyd Martin again, by the way. And then Leslie talking about her with the kid. Oh my gosh, she's so funny. That whole last hour was hilarious, the eventing hour.
It was
a
riot. I thought that those two had to end with Leslie and Jenny from The Nations, we called them. And boy, that was the perfect ones to have end the show. It really was.
Yeah.
They could have went 2 hours themselves. I mean, and we had so many callers. I'd never done that before, put like 12 people on at the same time. And I'm sure it just sounded like a mess, but it was fun to do.
Nobody wanted to leave. Yeah.
I know.
I came back because I really wanted to hear Monty Roberts and I wanted to hear Bob Baffert. So I came back. I had to take Lucky to the vet after we were done. So I missed that whole part. And when I logged back on, I was like, the very end of Monty. And I was like, no. So I missed that. So I have to go back and listen to that. And then after that, then it crashed at Bob Baffert. So I'm so thankful we're going to play Bob Baffert again today because I really wanted to hear the whole thing. There were just too many people that wanted to hear that. Like Debbie's Hour was so popular, crashed the whole thing.
I always wanted to crash a server, so I crossed that off my bucket list on Monday.
Proud of you, buddy.
Done.
Proud of you. Yeah, dude, way to go.
Your turn. Let's do your daily Winnie here.
Well, thanks, Misty, for posting this on my Facebook page and let me know what's going on in my future hometown. I am, we bought the 12 acres in Norman, Oklahoma, which is near Oklahoma City, just south of it. It's where the University of Oklahoma is and whatever. Anyway, so there was a national news story and she shared that with me. Do you want to play the audio here?
Okie dokie. Let me see if I can get it up.
Police officer makes an unusual call in transport today. Take a look at this photo. This is Officer Kyle Kanan hauling a miniature donkey in his car. News
Police car.
Kristen Shanahan got to meet the officer and little Squishy. Kristen, tonight police are still searching for Squishy's owners. They
Squishy.
Believe it's actually probably someone's pet.
Yes, and I can tell you he loves humans and he loves attention. The family that's keeping him now says he doesn't have a typical donkey personality. He's a special guy and they just want to get him back to his owners.
For Now,
sounds typical to me.
Nicknamed Squishy, is calling the Strader's backyard home. He's a loving guy that was found in a dangerous place Tuesday morning. Robin says she was on her way to work when she saw him roaming along the side of this busy highway.
Just after I got him off the road, yeah, he could have definitely been killed.
A short time later, Officer Kyle Kanan rolled up on the unusual sight. Robin told Officer Kanan she could keep the donkey on her property. Only problem, how to get him there.
She said, well, no, it won't fit in my car. And I was like, it might fit in my car.
So with a little pushing and pulling and some animal feed, they got him loaded up. The proof is in the picture.
It was a perfect fit. I mean, I was able to shut both doors. I rolled the window down for it.
I was told today that I have actually had the chance to shove somebody else's ass into the back of a patrol car. And there he is.
Squishy was only in police custody for about 4 miles. Officer Kanan was happy to help, but not so pleased with the evidence he left behind.
What happens when you load a horse?
My police car.
Number one or number two?
Number two. I mean, I must have got it right after breakfast because there was a lot.
God.
He may be a lot to handle, but the Straighters say they don't mind having him around.
If he is yours, good. Please come and get him. If not, he will have a wonderful home.
Yeah, I'm going to go get him.
Which is worse, having the guy puke in the back of your car is drunk or that? I'm not sure which.
I mean, this is like the little town that I'm going to live in. How hilarious this police officer and this woman shove a donkey into the back of the patrol car. And I love it. I must have got him after his breakfast because, man, there was a lot.
I got news for him. Your Norman is not going to fit in the back of his cruiser.
My Norman will not fit in his cruiser. No.
No.
Oh, God. That was so funny. So anyway, thanks for sharing that, Misty. That's
you're going to live in what sounds like a great little hometown, right? It's just got that hometown feel. And he was probably just out for a walk, you know?
Oh, my gosh. And I want one. I think he was looking for the property. He's looking for the land.
He's looking for your place, right?
He's looking for me.
He was going to camp out till you finally get there 3 years from now.
there's plenty of grass, dude. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
We're having to pay to mow it.
He was cute.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Cool. You want one of those, and Wendy does too. She wants a baby donkey too. She wants a little donkey.
Oh my gosh, they're like the cutest things. And that sound, I'm sorry, it is the cutest little noise ever.
We have them all around us, so we hear that sound all day. You do too. You hear that sound. Yeah, all the time.
Very cool.
Very neat.
Well, now, there's another news story that I was going to let you know about. It's been going around Facebook. So let me see if I can find it here, the details. There's a woman. Her name is Catherine Lemansky, and she was the one who posted, she's the piece of total trash, who duct taped her dog's mouth shut. Then she took a photo of it, Glenn, and she posted it on Facebook. Well, he stopped barking now. And a beautiful chocolate lab. So she duct tapes her dog's mouth shut, posts that picture on social media. It sparked national outrage. She was shared on Facebook hundreds of thousands of times. So much so that authorities were going to track her down. They're like, we cannot look at this anymore. They had so many complaints. So they had to track her down. Now, she had previously lived in Florida and then I think up in New England somewhere. And they couldn't, she didn't live in Florida anymore, or she didn't live in New England and blah, blah, blah. They tracked her down to a place in North Carolina. And so 3 different law enforcement agencies were trying to track her down. They found her. I think she was like, I don't know what she was doing in North Carolina, but she didn't live there. Well, because she did the assault to the dog or the animal cruelty, she was arrested in North Carolina, all because she posted this dumb idiot posted a picture of her doing something really stupid on social media, and they tracked her down and they arrested her.
Let me clarify. It's not okay to duct tape an animal's mouth shut. Let me just clarify, because our cat was being a total pain this morning, and I thought about it. I did think about it, but I...
Excuse me. I'm telling you,
hundreds of thousands of people. She had to shut down her Facebook page because, I mean, I saw it, I think, right after, and I went to her page and I was going to be like, listen here. And there was like, no way you could write her a message anymore. And the comments that under the whole thing was like, he's been here for 3 days since this and he hasn't barked once. I mean, like, she thought it was totally okay to do this. But anyway, she was arrested for animal cruelty. And she will face a judge in North Carolina on December 14th. They did send officers to see the dog, and they did not seize the dog because she had, I guess, a couple others. They didn't seize the dog because it looked fine. It was vaccinated and microchipped and taken care of. They didn't find evidence of any like hair pulling off or cuts on the muzzle. So they didn't even get to take the dog, but she's going to see a judge. I'm so glad that all these law enforcement agencies work together to track her down.
Well, let's hope that she learned a lesson. Not good.
Yeah.
So I can't do it with the beast. I can't duct tape his mouth shut. Are you sure?
Well, it's a cat. I'm sure there's different rules.
All rules are off.
All bets are off.
I'm kidding, guys. People. Don't send me emails. Kidding.
Of course he's kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm just
that cat
kidding.
Would kill him.
That's right. That didn't even see my face scratched off. Are you kidding?
That cat would kill
I'd lose that battle for sure.
Oh, here's this is the one thing. The University of Georgia has a mascot. His name is Ugga. He's a bulldog.
Ugga.
And there's an old story. Just made me think of it where Ugga is sitting on the 50-yard line and he starts licking himself. And Bubba turns to his friend. He's like, man, I wish I could do that. And then Bubba turns back to him and goes, that dog would bite you. That made me think of that cat would scratch.
Georgia humor.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Well, I did want to mention here before we get our first guest on that if you want to hear all 12 hours of the Radiothon, you can find them by going to horseradionetwork.com. They're at the top of the recordings there in right on the homepage. You'll find all 12 hours listed there. You can click and listen to whatever you want. If you listen through iTunes, you'll find them on the Stable Scoop feed in iTunes. So you just subscribe to Stable Scoop and you'll find all 12 hours if you listen on iTunes of the Radiothon. And also, if you listen on our app at the Horse Radio Network free app, which is where you should be listening anyway, you just go to the Stable Scoop feed. They're all on the Stable Scoop feed. And then we've also divided up the separate hours and put them out on the shows they belong to, like the Horses in the Morning or on the Horses in the Morning feed. So there's multiple different ways.
I'm going to go back and listen to Charles and tell me I can go blanket Zenyatta.
You know, one of our listeners asked, did you listen to it when you were doing the editing? No, I did not. I was trying to get the editing done, so I did not. The other thing I wanted to mention, that this has come up many, many, many times, is where is the list of the prize winners? And we do have that on the Radiothon website now. So it is listed on the prizes page there, and we will also post that on Facebook here when we get a chance. So the prize winners are listed there, and we will be contacting the prize winners here very shortly. I did contact Lindsay Helmuth, who was the one who won the grand prize of $1,000 worth of stuff, and needless to say, she was very excited.
I think I saw her on Facebook post, this is the best Christmas ever.
Yes, well, she did have a good Christmas. When's the last time you got that much stuff at Christmas? So she's going to be on with us on Friday morning to share her excitement. So she's going to join us then. But congratulations to Lindsay.
Let's see, I'm looking for the list. So if I go to Horse Radio Network, where is the list? What do I click on?
You know what? I just thought about the fact that I changed all of the links and you can't get to that page anymore.
Okay.
Thought about that.
I was
we'll
like,
have
am
to
I
fix
crazy?
That. All right. I just have to fix that. This has been a learning curve. It's our first time. So we will, I will fix that. And
are you
sure
thinking of doing it again next year?
I think we have to now, don't we? I mean, it was pretty popular.
Yeah, sure, you have to. Absolutely, you do.
You do. You have to. I was thinking that you could do Wendy's job next year and fly out here and sit here for 12 hours. It was lovely.
Yeah, because if I'm going to fly to Florida, that's what I'm going to do is sit next to you for 12 hours.
Let's go.
I'll be right there, boss. I'm on my way.
Let's go to our first guest. I'm so excited to have him on. We're going to be talking. Yes, this is a little bit. Jennifer says, "Oh, you're going to stroke your own ego." No, I'm actually I want to acknowledge Chris and all the work he does down with the Tampa Bay business owners. His name is Chris Kermitzos. He is the host of Story Jam Theater, a podcast I listen to all the time. And he is the chief head muckety muck of the Florida Podcasters Association and the chief creative officer of Tampa Bay business owners. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's so good to have you on. I want to be a chief creative officer. That's a fun title, isn't it? That's a great
it's
title.
It's better than CEO and all the other titles that people come up with.
Yes, that's true. It makes you sound special. Chief executive officer sounds boring. Chief creative officer, now that's somebody cool.
I like Chief Muckety Muck. That's actually not bad either.
Well, we kind of relate to that here at the Horse Radio Network. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And you're going to be happy to note that I can talk. I know you were a little concerned about that. So my voice is still with me.
Yeah, I was worried about that, Glenn.
Because I'm coming down tonight. Tell me what's going on and why I'm coming to Tampa tonight.
Well, first off, I just want to congratulate you on the Radiothon. I actually listened to quite a bit of it, and I was amazed at how many different songs people created for the Horse Radio Network or just the jingles. And also, you guys were talking about weasel poop, making coffee. I thought that was really interesting.
You must have listened to Horse Husband's Hour.
The Horse Nation, Horse Husbands. I listened in the morning as well. Whenever I was in the car, I was able to listen to a bit of it. It was great. It was probably some of the best radio or whatever you want to call it, podcasting I've ever heard. I really enjoyed the whole thing, even though I'm not someone that's in horse husbandry. It didn't matter. It was just fun to listen to all the great people that you've built relationships with. So congratulations on that. And I'll be a listener every year.
Thank you.
Broadcast. It was just a lot of fun to listen to.
Did notice he said he'll listen. He's not going to fly in and sit next to you for 12 hours.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he's not offering.
I saw the picture on Facebook.
He's not offering. I did notice that.
Yeah.
I did notice that. You know, that was one of the things about the Radiothon that came up after it. People said, you know, you didn't have to be a horse person and you would have enjoyed this day because it really wasn't about horses, you know. So
yeah.
That was really cool. Well, you are. Tell us what the Tampa Bay Business Owners Group is.
Well, it's really very similar to what Horse Radio Network is in that it's a community. It's a community of people, and our community is not revolving around horses, but around business. And business people deal with a lot of unique issues, and that's basically it's a peer-to-peer network for business owners to commiserate and to brainstorm ideas and help each other out. So tonight is our big event. Once a month, we have an event called the Main Event. And that's where we feature someone really, really special that's done some amazing things in this world. And you are our keynote. It's an interview, a live interview. So we'll be interviewing you and what you've created with the Horse Radio Network. Because out of the thousands of people that we've met and we've seen, what the Horse Radio Network is really a unique, unique thing that's been created between you and all your co-hosts and really the horse community. It's just pretty amazing.
Jamie, I'm a little concerned because he had me dig out pictures from like when I was a kid and then in early days in business. And I'm just a little concerned about what's happening with all those pictures right now.
Oh, yeah. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
And then don't worry about the ones that Jennifer and I sent him. Don't worry about those. No
well, if you have
problem.
Any other embarrassing ones, Jamie, send them away. I've already built the PowerPoint, but I could always add something last minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you do know that this is Glenn you're, like, talking about interviewing, right? Like,
Absolutely.
This is it. What you see is what you get.
Yeah, I hope you're not expecting some high words of wisdom or anything like that, because I just know what I know. That's all. I mean, we're just sitting here talking about horses.
That's what we want.
Okay.
That's what we want.
All right,
we want unfiltered Glenn the Geek.
Now, this is business people. I don't like wear a suit, because to be honest, I thought about it the other day. I don't actually own a suit anymore. If I had to go to a funeral right now, I'd be in trouble, because I don't own a suit anymore.
You'd stop by Goodwill on the way.
Yes, I would. You know, I used to live in suits when I had my real job, and I had like 12 of them. Now I have no suits that would fit me anymore. So basically,
Glenn is asking, what is he
wearing? Can
wear?
I wear jeans? Yeah, can I wear a cowboy hat and jeans?
Yeah, I sent you a picture of the get-up you had at the podcast movement. Anything like that fits. I'll be wearing jeans to match you.
Okay.
So we'll be good to go.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate
permission granted.
I won't be the only slough off in the whole building.
In today's day and age, what's really interesting is because we feature a lot of technology CEOs throughout the year, maybe one or two of them, but most of them are wearing jeans now because they want to be different. You know what I mean? And I asked the one guy, I said, you wore jeans. Did you know what our dress code was? Not that we have a big one, but it's business professional. He goes, no, I figured I'm the speaker, so I'll wear what I want. I said, okay.
Do you ever
wear a suit? He goes, only when I'm asking people for money.
I like that.
Only when I'm asking people for money. Write
that
down.
That was his answer. Only when I'm asking people for money do I wear a suit.
Do you know, I think where that started, the whole we don't have to dress up anymore, Steve Jobs. You know, when he would...
Him, Mark Zuckerberg, too. You remember when he won the award, he was... they wanted to present some prestigious award at some stuffy club. So he shows up in a t-shirt and pants, and they said, our dress code is a suit. And he goes, well, I didn't ask to win the award. You guys wanted to give it to me, so what would I want?
I didn't ask to win the award. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, you guys gave it to me. It's not like I need to wear it. If you want to give me the award, I'll wear what I want. You don't like it? I'll leave.
Well, give a little plug out, too. I want to give a little plug out because I love, love, love your podcast. And it's called Story Jam Theater. And actually, anybody that... Well, you describe it, but I would say anybody that likes TED Talks will like these.
Yeah, it's just because of all these great people we meet in our community, we realize that we don't have spots to feature everybody's stories. So why don't we create a platform? So we rent out a theater twice or three times a year, and we literally have people tell us these little stories in their life that happened that are just amazing stories. We had one lady that covered Pablo Escobar's death in Colombia. She got the assignment. She was a 21-year-old reporter, and she was the only one in the newsroom, so she had to be flown to Medellin to cover that. So it's a really amazing story of how do you handle that. You know, the whole country is going to be watching you. We had a good friend of ours, Neil Gilarte. He had one that I really don't want to ruin, but we titled it Out of Sync, and it's an amazing story of opportunity that just went through his hands. You have to listen to it.
So funny and sad and all of that all at once.
So, yeah, it was a career-defining moment, but unfortunately, through what happened, he was not able to see it, and he was only, he was 20, 21. But it's just these amazing stories that happen to people, and they're able to condense them. It's not a life story condensed in 5 minutes. It's a individual story that people share. And there's so many. I'm trying to think of a couple.
Glenn, you better come up with something
those
good.
Those are just a couple.
He wants me to do one, and I've been putting them off, actually, because I'm trying to...
I want you to do one about your horse.
About Scooter.
About Scooter.
Scooter's life story. Well, it's Story Jam Theater. You can find it's a Story Jam Theater Business Edition. You can find it on any of your podcast players, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find it. Is there a website to it, or is it just under...
No, it's storyjamtheater.com,
okay.
But you're best finding on SoundCloud, iTunes, and whatever, or Stitcher, all those different aggregators have it.
Well, I'm looking forward to heading to Tampa. It's a neat town, but I love going there anyway. So we will see you down there tonight. And I'm supposed to show up at 8 o'clock, right?
Very funny. Don't do that to me.
I'll be there at 5.
Oh, man. I just had a momentary heart attack. I appreciate that, Glenn.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. We'll see you later.
See you tomorrow.
Jamie, congratulations on the radiothon. You guys did a great job. I enjoyed
goodness.
It thoroughly. I probably listened to about 4 out of the 12 hours. And it was, wow, it was just a lot of fun to listen to. And you guys have all built something really special. And I don't just say that. It comes off when these people call in and you can hear the pride of everybody part of Horse Radio Network. And that just doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Well,
then you can have me as your speaker next month. I'll see you next month, buddy.
Yeah, she doesn't mind coming to Tampa either. Absolutely. All right, we'll see you, Chris.
All right, guys. Bye now.
He's a super nice guy. He really is.
He's a cool guy. I liked him.
They have like 500 members of this, of the Tampa Bay Business Owners. And they have, I think he has more members of the Tampa Bay Business Owners organization than they do of the chamber.
Can I ask an inappropriate question?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, go for it. Because I know a little bit about Tampa.
Yeah.
I have kin in Tampa.
Oh, do you?
Yes. And, I know that some of the businesses in Tampa are a little bit, well, they're known for their strip clubs and gambling.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Tampa's known for, like, they're one of the places that has the full on naked strip clubs and all that. And I was curious that you're going to a small business owners. See if you can spot a strip club owner in the whole.
All right. I'll be looking now. Now you got me curious. Right? Now Jennifer's not going to let me go. You ruined it.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, no, I'm not saying strippers, I'm saying okay. The owners.
You know, when I drive there, I drive in on the highway. You get off the highway, you go to the room, and then you get back on the highway. Everything in Tampa is drive the highway, get off, and you're there.
How far is that from where you are?
It's about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours.
So you spend the night there?
No, I always come back. I usually get home around midnight. So, yeah, that's also where they hold the Florida Podcasters Association meetings. So when I go down from there, I go down. It's a nice drive, though. I enjoyed. It gives me a break. Today, I could use one. Hey, we got somebody that's going to join us right now.
Yay.
Let me see if I can add her in. There she is. We're being joined by Debbie Laux.
Hi, Debbie.
Of the Horsemanship. Well, she's not here yet. There she is. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Poor Debbie. We woke her up to do this.
No, yeah. Literally, the bed was shaking. No, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
I'm here.
Yeah, you missed him, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, I didn't either. Exactly.
I think I could have taken the next month off and nobody would have missed me after Monday.
I literally didn't think you could be able to talk, frankly. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yeah. Well, Debbie, how are you, my friend? I am so excited because we're going to... Huh?
Yeah, Jamie, I never get to talk to you. How you doing?
I know. We just text back and forth.
We do, don't we?
Yeah. I am doing great. I was so excited to listen to your hour. And I had to take Lucky to the vet. I came back. I turned on the radio, and it was the very end of your dad and your mom's and you sitting around chatting. And I missed it. And now that all the hours are up, I can go back and listen. But how cool was that to have both your parents on, sit and chatting about Christmas?
Very cool. I mean, how many people get to do that? That was pinch myself time. That whole hour was pinch myself time. It was really fun. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Because I thought that was such a romantic, lovely story Dad told, wasn't it?
I missed it. I didn't. I heard like the very end and I heard everybody
Don't ruin
say,
it for her.
That's so romantic. Sweet.
All right. Yeah. There's a punchline. Listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, good. He had me a little nervous there for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think he did that on purpose. He's a good storyteller.
He is a good storyteller. And
yeah, the whole hour was really fun for me. I mean, Charlotte Bradal lives, as Jamie, you probably met her when you were there. I'm not sure, but did you? Yeah. Charlotte lives a mile away. She literally lives, you know, like the next farm over. And
I tell you an embarrassing story about her when I met
probably.
Her?
Probably. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I met her when she came over and your dad was working with the miniature donkey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm standing next to Charlotte. I don't know who is everybody is. And I mean, I knew who she was. Well, I knew she was going to be there, but I couldn't have picked her out of a lineup. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we're working with this miniature donkey, or your dad is. And so I turned to her and I was like, oh, so this is your miniature donkey.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, no, I didn't realize. I just asked a freaking Olympian if it, she owned the stupid, bad acting miniature donkey. And like, she's amazing. And here I am like, I was so embarrassed after that. I was like, oh my God, I just asked an Olympian if like, this is her miniature donkey. No, this is not her miniature donkey. She's an Olympian, for God's sake. It was embarrassing.
You can tell everybody how nice she is because she was very nice. I mean, you didn't know that she was Olympian even then, right? She just kind
of. No, she was like, went, no, it's not. No, no. Like, not like, you idiot. Of course I wouldn't. No, you wouldn't mean to ride that thing. No, it was such a bad little mini donkey.
You remember, like, 1 second later, donkey got away from dad, which is rare when anything gets away. He's running across the yard. Dad does about a 50-yard dash, and then, forget it. The donkey goes.
Well, I have pictures of it because what happened, Glenn, is this miniature donkey would not go in the round pen. And so the owner hands it to Monty and says, can you fix this? And so he's working with it because the miniature donkey just turns and runs away with everybody. And he's like, I got it. I got it. And that miniature doggy turned and ran away.
Man, put his shoulder into it.
It's classic.
It is classic. Amazing how much power those little animals have. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was a little rescue thing. What do we call that? I can't remember.
I can't remember. But I'm
not
like,
Badonkadonk. But it was
Charlotte, yeah. Is that your donkey? Like, no, God.
Charlotte, by the way, is, 5'11" or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really tall. Not that tall.
So anyway, not to hijack, but I just thought it was funny. Oh, and she was so lovely. I did hear her interview. She's so lovely on the air. And you guys have such a great relationship with her and your mom. And she made that beautiful statue of Charlotte riding, and it was just
We didn't even talk about that. Mom has a sculpture out of her on Monsieur, who we just lost, like within the last 60 days we lost Monsieur, and that means he was well into his 30s because he was in the early Olympics there, so yeah, he was wonderful. And so I'm glad it's forever in bronze, the two of them beautifully seated.
Yes. Now, what we did not get to hear the end of was the Bob Baffert interview, because you were so popular and everybody logged on that you crashed the server.
By the way, Debbie, that is what happened. So you, thanks to you, I've now crossed something else off my bucket list. I've always wanted to crash a server, so I win. Yay.
Thanks, Glenn. I'm glad it was on your bucket list. No.
We think that we had over, the way it looks is like, this is we had over 7,000 people tune in live during the day.
Awesome. That's so cool. No. Okay, I'm wearing it as a badge of honor. You got to make me a little badge.
No, you did. You were partly responsible for crashing the whole Mixler system.
Yeah, so. Well, I'll pass that on to Bob.
I'm sure Bob didn't even know. So, but I will. I do want to say this, that your hour and all the other hours are out now. I did put your hour on the Horsemanship Radio feed, so they can find that on the app and also on iTunes.
And they can find it on my Facebook page. I just put it up.
Okay, good. So you saw that too. And then also we want to mention, before we actually play the Bob Baffert interview for you today and hopefully get through the whole thing, by the way, you should have seen me having a heart attack during that time while still trying to run the show. But
I thought of you, actually.
There were a few words that I had to mute. The rest of this isn't the whole interview. So tell everybody when they can hear the whole interview. This is just part of it that we played for the Radiothon.
That's right. Episode 53 just went up on November 30. That means our next episode 54 will be December 15th, and that's where we'll have Bob in the entirety. What was it,
22 minutes maybe, and we only have like 13 minutes here. So there's another 10 minutes of golden footage.
Right. Yes. Thank you for doing the editing job on it, too. What I heard was beautiful. but he did say some nice things beyond that, too, about his family. And so people will want to tune in and listen to that on December 15th. We'll have that up.
Yeah, there was actually some of the stuff I had to cut out just to get it down for time was some of the really personal stuff that you're really going to want to hear. It was really neat.
Yeah,
but I left the American Pharoah stuff in this interview.
You're gonna cry.
Yeah,
you're
Jamie, get the tissues out.
So cool.
Yes, you want to hear it? Let's take a listen.
Go. Well, welcome, Bob Baffert. I'm excited to have you on Horsemanship Radio on the Horse Radio Network, and we feel very privileged. It's been an exciting year.
It's been a very exciting year. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll remember this. I love when people start with those lines. But we met on the day that Dad, Monty Roberts, was racing a six-year-old Sabiango who had just won the Charles Whittingham Memorial Handicap at Hollywood Park. And that day, there was a young jockey named Tyler Bays up top. I don't remember that.
You're going back now, but I remember that was a beautiful horse. He was from, I think he was from Germany or
yep.
something.
That's right.
He was a really nice horse, beautiful horse. And I remember Tim Yakteen, who was helped get him ready for me. I give him most of the credit there because he did all the work with him, my assistant.
Yes. Yeah, he was very pleased that day. It was a great win, and it was, you know, Charles Whittingham had a warm place in our heart, too, so that whole thing was a nice triumph. But I want to get into, it's the Christmas season here, and we are in the midst of a radiothon, and we're doing some things to give some prizes away, and you and your wife, Jill, have donated to several charities, and I just want to honor you in that. Following the American Pharoahs Triple Crown Triumph, I know that you guys have committed, you donated $50,000, some crazy number like that, to the charities like Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance and the California Retirement Aftercare Account and the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund, Old Friends, one of my favorites, Old Friends Farm in Kentucky, too. I appreciate you doing that, you and Jill, for your commitment to giving back.
Well, you know, this business has been so good to us, and so we just felt, you know, if you can afford to do it, we're in a position where, well, we want to give back, and those, you know, the horse organizations, you know, we need to be more responsible. Back when I was growing up, you know, we really didn't think about things like that. Now it's like it's like the main topic in our industry. You know, we have to take care of these horses when they're done, you know, off the racetrack. So it's really working out well. There's some really good farms out there, and these horses are finding homes, and it's pretty difficult these days to find homes for them, but we're just glad to be part of it.
Thank you. Well, thank you for doing that. I know that that's really been keen in the list of things that people like to see grow in the industry, so thanks for being a leader in that and making that commitment. Yeah, I know you grew up on a family farm, like 240 acres near the Mexican border in Arizona with seven children, is that right?
Yes, so it was in Nogales, Arizona. Grew up like 3 miles north of the border.
Wow.
And it's been very, it was a great experience growing up on a ranch and growing up around horses, cows, chickens. And, you know, we at a young age, we were all giving responsibilities to care for the animals. So you learn a lot, you know, when you're responsible for animals at a young age, you learn, you know, how to deal with them, because if you don't feed them, they're not going to get fed. So it was a great learning experience.
Yeah, well, your parents must have been amazing. It's Bill and Ellie is what I read, and do you still have them? Are they still with us?
No, they're not with us, unfortunately. They passed a few years ago, and that's why I was very emotional during the old Triple Crown run, because, you know, it was sort of sad that they weren't around to see it. And my mother, you know, she always told me I was going to win the Triple Crown, and they were there for the other one. But that's the only thing. I just wish they hadn't been around to see it, but I'm sure they were watching from above.
I think so,
felt they were sort of helping out.
I think so. I like to think that whole, they're still with us that way, if they felt that was a real dream. How is it growing up with seven children in the Baffert family? Were you all into the horses and the animals?
Well, we are, when there's seven of us and our television kept on, we had this antenna, I remember, out in the fields, and the cows kept knocking it down. So sometimes we didn't have television for long periods of time, so we had to entertain ourselves. So we entertained each other, the middle children. I was number four, so I usually hung out with my number five brother. And so we just found ways to, when you're on a ranch, you go out and do whatever you want. And my parents would take us to Mission Beach for the summers and drop us off and go back to work. And he worked really hard. My parents really worked hard. So we had a great childhood. We grew up the right way, and my father taught us from a young age the responsibility. You have to be very responsible, and that's really stuck to me all these years.
Mm-hmm. And you have a strong work ethic, and you seem to have imparted that to the people that work around you that work too, which is great. I think that's why you're highly respected. I don't know anybody that's dealt with animals to the length of a career as yours that isn't as strong, doesn't have a strong work ethic. So I'm sure you're passing that on to Bodhi. Am I right?
Well, hopefully, you grew up around animals in a ranch, it's 7 days a week. So when you're used to something like that, it's not, a lot of people, they want to take the weekends off. And I don't know if Bodhi wants to be a horse trainer. He wants to be a meteorologist and worked, giving out weather. He's really into weather. Matter of fact, after the Triple Crown, he did the weather with the Weather Channel. He was Sam Champion, so that was pretty cool. He was very excited about that.
So with you and Bodhi and Jill, are there any family holiday traditions that you remember from your time in your family that you've carried on now to these days?
Not really, because we do a lot of traveling now that we're, Jill and Bodhi, we go to these races, and so we just sort of live a totally different life than I did when I was growing up. Especially when you grow up in a quiet little town like Nogales, Arizona, there's not a lot to do. But now living in Southern California, it's just the hustle bustle, and it's a totally different style of living. And so I've adapted to Southern California the last 40 years I've been here.
I couldn't miss asking you a few questions about your training abilities. Your dad said that you always had, I read where he was quoted as saying that you always had something special with horses, and that you read them well, you work with them well. And, I've lived long enough to see that champions make champions generally because their horses love them. And I read quotes that you had said too, that you love your horses, and that if you love your horses, they respond. So you have to love your horse. So tell me about American Pharoah. I mean, every champion has something special and unique between his trainer and him, I think. And so what's something about American Pharoah that makes that relationship special for you?
American Pharoah was, when he first came, he was a little bit rambunctious. He was wanting to do too much. He wanted to go too fast, too early. So we had to work with him to quiet him down a little bit. And his first race was sort of disastrous. He, going to the paddock, he was just a mess. He really wasn't handling it well. With the blinkers, he was tough in the warm-up, with the pony, going to the gate. He got in the gate. He tried to act up in the gate, broke, stepped slow, made the lead, then just stopped. And it was just a bad out, not a good experience for him. And I was really disappointed, because I really thought, we were hoping he was the next coming. We're always hoping that we're going to have the next a big horse. And I've been fortunate to have all these big horses, so we're disappointed is out. But then after that, we decided, we took the blankets off, we schooled him a lot, and we noticed that he was real sensitive to sound. I remember we were schooling him in the morning, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, walking over to Del Mar, and somebody turned on a tractor, and he just spooked. The noise got him, so we decided to put some cotton in his ears, maybe try him with that. And then from then on, he was very quiet. It pacified him somehow. And so I eventually got these little earplugs that I ordered online, little sheepskin earplugs for like $6.95.
Really?
And he's made $8 million of those earplugs. So it was pretty good. It was a good investment.
I can see it now. Bob Baffert earplugs. You get to endorse those things.
You know what? Well, I got it. Somebody asked me the other day. I got a call from some guy had a some. There's some friend that was a barrel racer, and the horses need some kind of plugs. Want to know what kind I use? So they want to know what my secret plugs were. Like, it's just easy. Just on the web there, you can buy them.
Yeah, behavioral genius. Now. Oh, they've dropped. Yeah, well, the use of them has gone up, so it's a quantity thing.
I actually tried. I contacted the people who make them. I said, I just want you to realize that this horse, Triple Crown horse, is using your earplugs. Like, you know, so they leave. But they just really said, "Oh, thanks. It's good
oh, thanks."
Like, no biggie.
I have no idea. Well, what I loved about that you said, I think this is what you want to see in every thoroughbred, that he always looks like he's having fun out there. And you talk about his ears twitching. And I just love hearing that because that means everybody's in your team is doing something right. You're feeding him well. He's fit. And they can't be having fun if not everything's put together. So I appreciate you bringing that champion on like that. And that you said every time you run him, he shows a new dimension. Were those dimensions behavioral, or was it that he was just stronger each time?
Well, you know what? He really changed physically from January to March. He got longer. He came told he was like a short coupled horse, had a short back, and then he got longer. In the last 2 months, he grew up, stretched out, and but his stride is what really set him apart. His mechanics, his fluids dried, really, he jumped a long way, and he did it without really having to work at it, and he was quick. He was quick on his feet, and so, but he had a great mind. He had a nice, smart head. He's got a soft eye. He's just a very, and a sweet, loving horse. He was he would put your head in your lap. He was spoiled rotten. He was he's one of those, like, when you brought him out and you go to take him back to the stall, he did not want to go back to the stall. He wanted to stay out there and enjoy it a little bit longer, and he was just pretty pampered and spoiled. But when he came down to training, he really enjoyed training, and I think that's very important for these horses. They have to enjoy what they're doing. And you could tell when he got out there and galloped, or if he breathed, he had those ears forward, you know, happy. When you see those ears clicking forward, you know your horse is happy. And every time we worked him, he never had a bad work. He always had a really good work. And so it's very rare. Sometimes you'll breeze a horse and you won't be happy with it. He was always, there was never a bad work. He was just spot on every time we breathe them.
I appreciate you giving us this time. It's a crazy year, and you could put your time in a lot of different places instead of us. So thank you again for being our guest today, and I hope
thanks
we get to talk
me.
To you down the road. Yeah, thanks, Bob. Bob Baffert.
All right.
Well, there you go. So, Debbie, you did a great job with this interview, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, gosh, you're so
nice
good.
Oh, he was good, wasn't he? He was just really down to earth, and it's just what you want to hear. I wanted to have a conversation with him, and it was really nice. Yeah,
really cool. And there's more that we haven't heard, and we're going to hear it on the Horsemanship Radio, right? And now on the 15th, it comes out. Oh, so cool.
December 15th. Thanks for the plug. Yeah.
I would not have had that much composure. Like, you're so, so composed and professional. I'd have been like, oh my God, Bob, like,
well, you know, actually, it's funny, Jamie, you say that, because after the interview was done, I'm going to throw Debbie under the bus a little bit. After the interview was done, Debbie said to me, I was too quiet and calm. And I said, you know, I think because you were so quiet and calm, you got him to relax, and he just talked.
It was like total NPR right there.
Yeah,
like, that was awesome.
It was kind of, actually. But it was perfect, because he's so used to these sports reporters that are in his face, you know, and that's what he's used to. And so when you relaxed him, he just talked, and it was beautiful. It was really nice.
Oh, it was thanks. Perfect. Well, yeah. I was thinking I didn't want it to be too slow and draggy for our horse radiothon.
No, it's Bob Baffert. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was cool to hear him talk. Like, yeah,
just the background. Yeah, I loved hearing the family times and, you know, trying to get some of the memories in there too. Even though it's probably really a tough upbringing, you know, probably they worked really hard and didn't have a lot of skiing in Aspen vacations or anything like that.
Well, on the horsemanship, and I won't give it away, but I'm going to tease it, on the next horsemanship radio show at horsemanshipradio.com, you will find, and also on our app, you will find that he surprises Debbie with something, too.
I heard about this. So neat. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know about that. So, yeah, there's a little tie-in there. You have to listen. Yeah, because did I stutter a little bit? Like, what? I didn't know
Were you nervous before this one?
You know what? Okay, you wanted me to tell a story on Glenn. I'll throw Glenn under the bus on this one.
Yes, please.
Glenn is just Glenn, right? You're just always so fun and not nervous and like, are you kidding? You're just talking to me. Don't worry about it. You know, and going into the whole horsemanship radio thing, I mean, he had to lead me by the nose.
She did
right?
not want to do this. I drug her into this radio thing.
By the nose, yeah. And so I'm just getting to the point where I'm comfortable around this, you know, scenario and everything. And so Glenn says, going into this interview, he says, okay, let's get on early for this. I'm like, okay. So we get on Skype real early. And then he says, okay, all right. You know all that regular stuff we do, like the housekeeping stuff, like if I lose you, we'll call you back. And don't do that. Okay. I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, no, this guy gives a lot of interviews and everything. You know, he doesn't want to hear all that stuff. Am I right, Glenn?
Yeah, that's true.
Glenn was nervous.
All right. Glenn was getting nervous. And I was like,
it's okay. Freaking Bob Baffert.
I said, okay. And then while we're doing kind of chat while the interview's going on, he's like, oh, okay, nice tone. Oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And I'm like, Glenn's making me nervous. I think my ass was going lower adrenaline as I could as the interview was going on. So anyway, you were so sweet, Glenn. Thank you for getting me through all that, though. Really, I mean, you were giving me feedback the whole time that was really kind.
Yeah, basically, she's saying, shut up.
Yeah, she's saying, next time, just don't talk to me. I'm busy.
Getting any feedback. This was really good feedback. So it was really like, I like your tone and you know, but he wouldn't rap. That was the...
That was the thing. We knew we had to wrap it and because he gave us a time frame. And you want to respect the time. And that happened to you when you were doing George Morris, Jamie. He gave us 10 minutes and he ended up talking for 15, you know? Same thing with Bob.
Yeah, so I think it was the subject matter, which is really fun. When you talk about holiday memories, you know, it can kind of take that we're going to, you know, grill you about your industry stuff.
And, you know, I'm going to throw some of these mainstream reporters under the bus, too. They ask the stupidest damn questions. And it's just like, you know, how do you feel about winning? Well, I'm $8 million richer. I feel pretty good, okay? You know, I just had the best horse that I'm ever going to have in the world. Yeah, I feel pretty good. What's he supposed to say? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like...
That's what I liked about it was you did lower your adrenaline. You brought him down and you talked about living in Nogales. I mean, stuff he doesn't ever talk about with anybody probably that, you know, because that's this kind of stuff they ask. They don't ask, what's it like growing up with seven brothers and sisters and your parents? And that it was just really nice personal side of him.
And I think if you take a look at it, the Charlie Daniels interview was the same way. You know, he ended up chatting and not wanting to stop. And then you did. I mean, for God's sake, you did it with the George. I mean, yeah, which was probably tougher than Bob, actually.
I'd be more nervous with that one for sure. Yeah. You don't want the sound bites out of that one to go bad. No, you did a really good job with that, Jamie, by the way, too.
Oh,
that was really fun. And the Charlie, but you know, the radiothon, effort, I think, is really the cool part of this whole thing, too. It's checking into something else that not everybody gets to check into about on the radio. So I thought that was really a really cool project that you're going to do next year, right? No,
yeah, exactly, apparently. With no help at all. Well, thank you, Debbie. We appreciate you very much. And thank you for all the hard work you put into the radiothon. And you really made it happen.
Now, Debbie, really before we
and
let
your mom.
You go, It, yeah, And your mom. Anything that we need to know from the Monty Roberts camp, besides the fact that I'm coming in March?
Yes! She just wanted to get that in.
I know. I'm so excited. Well, I wanted to keep talking it into existence here, too. So. That's good. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm really excited to. We have this 11, 12, and 13, we have our Horse Sense for Healing, which is our veterans program coming up. And I'm really excited about that, too. So maybe on the episode December 15th that's coming out, we might be hearing a little bit about that, too. And I want people to keep listening on that one. We're really making some huge strides on that. And thanks for asking about that. But 2016, Jamie's coming to town. This is going to be so fun.
Yay.
I'm so excited with your horses and everything. So we'll have some fun pillow talks about that.
Sounds good. And make sure you tell your daddy that I just appreciate every day what he did for me and Thor, because I would not be out competing Thor if it wasn't for his expertise. So, and his time that he just gave me his time. It was just amazing.
Really nice of you.
Because he's like, probably like, that girl needs some help.
Yeah.
She's a mess.
This girl is a mess.
No, he saw your Facebook page. He is so proud of you, Jamie. It's amazing writing Thor. Everybody should go see that. She's just, look, Ma, no hands. Look, Mondi, no hands. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's really cool. Well,
thank you, Debbie.
MontyRoberts.com, Horsemanship Radio. Thank you very much. And good job on the Baffert.
Thank you. Good job on the Radiothon. Yay.
All right. Thanks, Debbie.
You guys, bye.
Oh, so much love in this room.
Anyway, it's Love Fest today. Well, I'll tell you what's love, and that's Jane Hart Jewelry.
Oh,
Jane Hart Jewelry, we met, you know, when we go to Ada, how many jewelry people are there? About 1,000, right? There's 1,000 jewelry companies, and none of them ever spoke to us before. You know, we just would look at them, and even Helena and Jennifer would go look at them, and they were the same old stuff. Well, the one that really jumped out at us was Jane Hart Jewelry, and it's run by Jane, and she just has the most amazing collections. They're classic, they're timeless, the designs are perfect gifts for horse lovers. You can get it for all of us guys. We hate getting the practical stuff all the time, and occasionally we want to get something pretty, and we always get in trouble because it's something they don't want and they don't want to wear. Am I wrong? We never do it right.
No, yeah. You don't. No. well, the thing about the Jane Hart Jewelry is they look like horses. They're just beautiful pieces of jewelry that are, they're functional. You know, you can wear them and they look good. They're not clunky. Like the necklace you gave me, it is just the most beautiful piece of jewelry I own.
Tell everybody about that didn't hear on Monday.
Oh, it's so cool. So Glenn and Jennifer came to visit me and they handed me this gift and for my birthday and for visiting and whatnot. And I open it and it is the most beautiful necklace with a pendant that is Secretariat. And you know it's Secretariat because he's got his blinkers on and it's a beautiful silver piece of jewelry. But Secretariat is wearing his blinkers and they're checkerboard, just like Secretariat's blinkers. And it's a blue and silver. It's so cool. It is so distinct and it's so unique. I've never seen anything like it. And then I was looking at online and you can go find Barbaro, you can find Ravel, you can find Man O' War, another one of my favorite horses ever. So really, really neat. Really beautiful stuff and all the different breeds and designs and they have carriage horse jewelry and they have racehorse jewelry and Arabians and Morgans and dressage.
Fox hunters and
fox, she has everything on there. So you can go look at what's her website? Because this is on horsejewelry.com is also where you can.
It's Jane Hart, J-A-N-E Hart.com. JaneHart.com. And you can still get it for Christmas. Hop on there today and check it out. I may just be looking at something for a certain special someone of mine. I don't know. I'm sure she's not listening.
Glenn, two pieces for me? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
You're so generous.
I was hoping you weren't listening. I was really hoping you weren't listening.
Right here. Well, it's really cool to have, you know, like I've got this big giant, the famous picture of Ron Turcotte on Secretariat above my desk. And, you know, it's him with him looking back. And then to have that piece of jewelry basically with his Secretariat's head. Oh, so cool. So JaneHart.com.
Well, we are. Victoria's going to be with us in just a second. She was having a little trouble with her computer, but she's rebooting now. But we're waiting for her. We'll throw her under the bus too today, and we'll embarrass her a little bit. You did not get to hear, because I think you ran out and took a bathroom break when we played this during the radiothon. But Victoria sent us a message for the radiothon too, and you might want to question her about some of it. So let's
hear it.
Let's hear it.
Hello, everybody. I'm Victoria Spicer, and I call in every week without fail. Well, I try to, for Horse and Country TV's European Roundup. And it's always great to chat to Jamie, Glenn, and Coach Jen and bring you all the latest news from over here in the UK. Now, as you might have noticed, I have a bit of an accent. For those who don't recognise it, it's Scottish, mixed with 10 years of living in England, and 3 of those years working at Horse and Hound. The Queen reads that magazine, and it's essential we all learn to talk just like her. Or, in my case, attempted to badly. Since it's a festive period and the end of the year, I wanted to say a few things. And, to be more accurate, to apologise. It's Christmas, so you need to forgive me. It's in the rules. First of all, I'm sorry that Charlotte Dujardin wins everything. And if it's not her, it's Scott Brash winning everything. Honestly, we Brits were getting used to being off the medal podiums, and those two came along and changed everything. Secondly, I'm sorry for calling things different names over here. We talk about the Hickstead Derby and the Epsom Derby and not the Kentucky Derby. We do trot up at events, not the jog up. We travel our horses in lorries or horse boxes, and we call paint horses skewbalds and piebalds or coloured horses. Every week I find a new way of confusing all you listeners. Thirdly, I'm sorry Horse and Country TV isn't available in the States yet. We're growing all the time, so who knows, maybe this will be the year we finally make it stateside. And in the meantime, you can still read all our news and watch thousands of free videos on our website, horseandcountry.tv. So there we go. My heartfelt apologies to you all this Christmas. And having got that off my chest, all that's left to say is have a fabulous Christmas and a wonderful new year to all of you listeners of the Horse Radio Network.
I love her.
Yeah. That's the best. Just the best.
I'm sorry. Charlotte Desjardins is winning everything.
And she wonderful can't lose. Job.
She's trying to reboot her computer. I don't know how it's going. I don't think it's going too well. She says she's having issues over there. So they have issues in England, too.
Yeah, that's
internet.
What she gets for saying, I call every week.
Yeah, almost.
Don't. You don't call every week. You didn't call this week.
Almost every week.
But, I do have a fun little list if you want me to do it real quick. Just it's kind of a neat something that I found online.
Okay.
Because we talked about American Pharoah and Bob Baffert, it's a list of the favorite snacks of famous racehorses.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear that.
And I know, like, I knew a lot of these, but some of them are quite surprising. And so Bob Baffert fed American Pharoah 1 billion carrots. Like, it was almost every time you saw Bob Baffert and American Pharoah, he was feeding him carrots. So that was American Pharoah's favorite treat. I said, talking about him like he's not here anymore. That is American Pharoah's favorite treat, is the carrot. Zenyatta, if you recall, loves Guinness, the beer. Do you remember the hearing about that?
Yes, I do. I do remember that. Yeah.
And a lot of people will mix beer with, beer with horses' grain. She drank it straight. Like, you just put in a bucket and she'd drink it. Cigar was, and this is very common for racehorse treats, but Cigar ate peppermints. That was his favorite thing. And there's a story that goes along with Cigar and eating peppermints. Jerry Bailey, his jockey, would reward him with a peppermint after every race. And after he finished second in the heartbreaking 1996 Pacific Classic, Jerry Bailey went to visit Cigar after the race and went to give him the peppermint, and Cigar refused it. He was like, treats are for winners. What? And like, wouldn't eat the peppermint because he lost the race. It was such a Jerry Bailey thought. Then you've got California Chrome, who ate Mrs. Pasture's cookies. Those hard little cookie things. That's what he ate. Lava Man also eats Mrs. Pasture's cookies and peppermints. And then Havre de Grace, the mare that was just absolutely amazing and then was sold for $10 million to in the sale in 2011. Let's see, 2012 Breeders' Cup sale. Anyway, she eats sweet potatoes. Have you ever fed a horse sweet potatoes?
You know, I've never fed a horse sweet potatoes. I tried to feed. I had some cheese, and I was giving it to the dog. We were doing some training with Glory, and the horses were standing right at the fence. So I thought, I'll try and give Scooter some cheese. Yeah, I know. And I gave him the cheese, and he Beaker wouldn't even put it in his mouth, but Scooter will put everything in his mouth. Everything goes in, and then he spits it back out. And sure enough, he put it in. He actually slurped it around for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, the cheese came flying back out. No, he didn't like cheese.
See, we need to adopt the equine vegan diet. See, except for John Henry. John Henry, they fed him
potted meat,
chocolate donuts.
Oh, wow.
Chocolate.
Donuts. Well, who doesn't like chocolate donuts?
Chocolate donuts, yeah. So, because John Henry was notoriously kind of a big jerk. He would live at the horse park, and he was, like, attacking everybody all the time. And so they would give him chocolate donuts to, like, if they needed to catch him. Here you go, buddy. Come here. And then I also read that Man O' War loved oranges. They fed Man O' War oranges. I wonder if he ate the peel, or did they have to peel him? Oranges.
I don't know.
Anyway,
and then peel.
I don't know. Ugh, that's gross. Anyway, sweet potatoes I've never heard of, and I've read a couple other racehorses too, and apparently they're really good for them. So maybe I should start feeding sweet potatoes because I ain't gonna eat them.
You're a vegetarian and don't eat sweet potatoes?
Ew, no.
Really?
Ugh, gross. Just there's. I think
you eat tofu for God's sake.
Yeah. Tofu's better than sweet potatoes. I think genetics play a part in liking or disliking sweet potatoes.
I think
you're genetically born liking them.
But you were born in Georgia. You should be loving sweet potatoes.
What? Why?
Is that southern dishes that have sweet potatoes?
That's probably why I don't like them. Because they were gross. Forced to eat them. I had to cook them for Lucas when he was little and mash them up and stuff, and I would like be gagging.
I don't like them either. Jennifer likes sweet potatoes. I'm not a sweet potato person. No. I'm with you.
No, Victoria. We're not going to get her this time.
No, it looks like she could not get her Skype to work, which no big surprise, but she said she would join us again next week, and she had everything picked out and all that, but she was not having much luck. So Jennifer's getting our next guest on the line here right now.
Lovely. We'll do it. But I'm trying to read what she was going to talk about. Two rehomed horses are competing in Olympia. Wow, that's amazing. Two rescues. What else was she going to talk about? Lucinda Green. Oh, she's so cool. But yeah, we'll just have to save it.
Very good. Well, let's get our next guest on here. We have coming up, and what happened at the Radiothon was we had like 100 people submit, or our listeners submit voicemails, and you notice everybody that's been on today has commented about those, right? Because they were so good. And we opened the day with a song that was just beautiful, and then I played it once or twice more during the day, and every host that heard it and everybody that heard it went, oh my God, who is that? I kept getting messages, who is that singing? They thought we got some very famous singer to sing this because it's so beautiful. And I said, it's one of our listeners from Oregon. She might be
famous. We don't know.
We don't know. We're going to find out. And her name is Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth from Oregon. How are you?
Hi, Glenn and Jamie. I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Are you super famous?
Yes. Are you Carrie Underwood? Really?
Oh, secretly, yes. I'm a millionaire. No. No, I wish.
Well, just so everybody has a point of reference, I'm going to play a little bit here of your... I'll play your song for everybody, and then I want to talk to you about it. This is unfreaking believable, by the way. Let's take a listen.
Getting to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight you'll see are the horses that will be out your own front door. A pair of Cavallo boots and a pony that scoots are the wish of Wendy and Glenn. Horses that rock and will go for a walk are the wish of Jamie and Jen. And Philip and Reese can hardly wait for showing to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one out fox hunting as well. The sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the sleigh bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. Right within your heart.
I mean, come on. That's so good. And with no musical accompaniment, as you
it
all know.
It was very fun.
And you wrote that, and it was just perfect. And well done. What gave you that idea to do that?
Well, you know, I listened to you guys on the recorded version. I can't listen live because we have this thing called dial-up way out here in the boonies. And so I was inspired by Jamie's beautiful singing and the sheep cleaning song gets stuck in my head every so often. So I thought, I know you didn't write that, but you presented it to us. And so it really did inspire me, your talent. But I do want to say, I think I mentioned it in my email that I did several takes of that, and they were all in Horse Radio Network style, interrupted by either dog barking or bursting in the door or something else. So that was the last one, and my voice was almost gone. So I appreciate you guys a lot.
Oh my gosh, well, that was great. And you know what? I mean, if I'm an inspiration to somebody out there with my singing, I mean, it's just, it's an honor. It's an honor.
That's a load of
that,
crap.
And I think you need to watch The Voice and like listen to some really good people.
Man,
and you need
girl.
To be on The Voice.
Yeah, why aren't you on The Voice?
Well, I do love singing a lot, but mostly I just like singing with my family and friends. And so I have had people say that, but I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where I think it could be fun, but it, you know, it's such a joy for me just to sing for fun that I wouldn't want to have that kind of pressure take that away. So, yeah, I don't know. I would consider, but
what I'm hearing, Glenn, is that she wants to sing with me right now. That's pretty much what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
What do you want to sing?
Let's sing. Let's do a little Silent Night. Here we go.
Okay.
Let you start and I'll join in.
Oh, great.
She's trying to remember the words.
It is 7 o'clock in the morning here.
Hey, it's 8 o'clock.
Okay, I'll try. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Now let's break it down.
You were embarrassed to even try. You were embarrassed. That was beautiful.
Singing together, he's like, oh, here you go.
I was kind of glad she didn't join in. I was enjoying it so much. It was.
I did join.
You guys are amazing.
I joined in quietly.
Do you have a horse? Do you have a horse?
Yes. Yeah, I've got two. Wait, how many horses do we have now? We just got another horse for my dad, and then I just got another pony named Glory.
Oh,
I didn't
yay.
Name her that after your dog, but she's my little driving pony. And I was inspired by you, Glenn. Actually, I have a little bay Welsh pony too, named Winnie, because she's got a Winnie kind of like Chili, and she's too much of a little stinker to hook up to a cart yet, but I got actually her grandma. It's so cute. So her grandma's name is Glory, and she's like teaching me how to jive. And then I have a big paint. My dad has a horse named Bendy. Altogether, we have five. I forgot somebody. Juniper.
Juniper. So. I love that name. You're great names.
Yeah, she's beautiful too.
I am shocked, Jamie. I'm really shocked at the number of people that, and I'm not just saying this to gloat. We're very proud of this. The number of people, thanks to the driving radio show and Wendy specifically, that have started driving that never drove before. I'm so happy about that.
You know what? I actually rode by a garage sale the other day, and there was a little cart out front, and I thought about buying. Like, I literally was like, I should do this. So I stopped, and the tires were flat, and it was all rusty.
That's how I started.
Really? Yes. I was like, yeah, this is too much of a project. But I even considered it, too. So I'm not going to give you credit.
It's fun, isn't it, Elizabeth? It's fun.
Well, I did send you guys a really bad ad one time. I was looking for pony tack because it's kind of tricky to find out here on the West Coast. It's not as much pony stuff. And I sent you guys an ad for a cart that needed a little bit of work that was like buried in trash and had like bicycle
tires flat and stuff. Oh my God, that was the garage sale. That's where I was.
Yeah. It was probably the same one.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure it was. That's hilarious. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I have one more question for you. And as we love to find out what people actually do for a living. And I know you said you have a job. So what do you do?
I actually work at a credit union. So I do loans and things at a credit union. It's not very glamorous, but it's really fun because it's actually more similar to what you guys do than what you might think. You get to talk to a lot of people and hear their life stories and talk about your travels and your horses and dogs and all of that. So that's the fun part of it.
Well, see, that isn't far out for us. We both need loans, so we'll be calling you. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
I got an in.
Elizabeth, you have an absolutely amazing and beautiful voice. It was absolutely perfect to lead off the radiothon with your song. And you will be hearing it again on Horses in the Morning, I promise.
Fantastic. I love you guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
And our wonderful duet of Silent Night. Glenn's going to play that over and over.
I will be playing that. Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right, have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to say it again. We have the coolest freaking listeners.
I think that the Wiener song really, I mean, you should thank the Wiener song for having that beautiful song.
Apparently.
It inspired her.
Apparently. You know what Chris said, and we can't take that for granted. You know, we're one of the very few podcasts in the world that have listeners that contribute as much as ours do.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. You know, he said that at the beginning of the show and he meant it. That does not happen. It's we're blessed that way. And I know Jennifer hates when people always are saying they're blessed, but we are blessed that way.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go now cuz my voice is starting to crack and now that you have sung that beautiful version of Silent Night, I'm sure your voice is going too.
I could sing more. I
noticed that you only joined in for about two words and then realized how ridiculous you sounded and then stopped.
You know, I actually was singing a little more. I just sang pretty quiet. But yeah, I didn't sound ridiculous. I didn't want to take her moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. She can hit the high notes too. My God.
Holy night, the stars. Oh.
I need some music.
I can sing more.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to acknowledge another one. This is Mona Wheeler, and she's going to sing Silent Night
Rocking
out.
Around. Christmas
tree. Today. So we're gonna put Jamie on mute and we're gonna play this and we'll be back. Let me see, what's tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow is the Australian episode. We recorded it last night because we can't do it live. It's kind of off time over there. But you're gonna want to hear her guests. It was a very fun show, as it always is with the Australian episode. And then Friday's Really Bad Ads, right? Jennifer? Are you still there? Coach Jen's still there?
She hung up. She's gone.
She's gone. She gave up on us. But I think Friday's Really Bad Ads, so you're going to want to get your ads in.
Yes, Chris.
And I think we can probably find a prize or two give away. And I better play the I got to find the closing song quick.
I hate that song.
Quick. This is Mona Wheeler, another one of our listeners. Bye, Jamie.
Bye. Babe Bitter Guild.
Einsam war, nur das traute hochheilige Paar, holt der Knabe im lockigen Haar, schlaf in himmlischer Ruh, Schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe.